The all-new Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Rove McManus.
That's right. Richard Marsden's boss has come in.
I've got two bosses looking at me at the moment.
To offer a few explanations.
Yeah. I should wear the glasses as well.
Yeah,
so we can both look over the top of them like a school mom.
Yeah. We'll be doing that.
Marsden. Class wag. Look at him.
Off air, Rove's just been telling me how he swore on last week's show and nobody noticed.
Yeah. I'm a rebel. But I did it in a really pathetic way where I just kind of muttered it under my breath.
Do you need new segments on that show of yours?
I would love new segments because we're, you know, getting close to the end of the year. Next year we have to brainstorm.
Oh, brainstorm.
Ooh. I hate brainstorming.
A blue sky session.
Yes. They have a regular blue sky and ideas shower in the boardroom here.
Ideas.
You'll be drenched by the time you leave.
Hey, another one of Shanksy's like secret plants has been unearthed by one of our listeners.
All coming up on Get This Around the Nation, the show that brought you the bloke who said this.
You can take my license, but you'll never take my tequila!
Explanation forthcoming. That's New Order. That'd be the bizarre love triangle. That's what we've got here. Myself, Tony Martin, that man, Ed Cavalier, and Richard Marsden on the buttons.
Wow.
And what about his other boss? It's Rove McManus.
Dun, da, da, dun. I'm the acute angle.
Are you just?
I don't know, whatever.
All right.
Don't bring maths into it. Whatever you do, don't bring maths into it.
Much too early for trigonometry on this program. Richard Marsden, how did he get his job on your program, Rove?
We slept together.
Oh, yeah,
so he answers it.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, it was through Peter Hellier.
Yeah.
When he was working in the building. And he said, there's this guy, this young upstart, this up-and-comer who's writing good stuff. And so we used to, Richard would just, he would just submit lines.
Yeah, there we go.
For a while there. And the lines were working. We liked it. Those lines became sentences. Those sentences became paragraphs.
Whoa.
And before you know it, he's putting on a kilt, standing in the just out the front of our office, pretending to be Mel Gibson in Braveheart.
And a model of unfulfilled potential.
And he used to sidekick it to Ann Wills on the Adelaide Morning Television. Did you ever see any of that?
I'm a big fan of Ann Wills. Absolutely.
What's happened to Ann?
She did some morning radio.
She on the source cone.
So you were like the Lawrence Mooney to her Denise Drysdale.
That's exactly what I was.
Yeah.
Come in and provide nutty asides.
But she's been axed. And where is she now?
Every time you hear about her, she's suing someone. She slipped over in a furniture store and she broke her ankle. So that was a good 6 months worth of pressure.
In a furniture store?
Yeah,
and when you slip over in a furniture store, wouldn't you just say, just by sheer law of averages, you should land on something before you hit the ground, which is a settee, a couch, an armchair.
Slipped over? I thought you said she'd slept over at a furniture store. I go, your thing's that bad. Fred Wills.
Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, there was a couple of episodes ago where it was just about a world of Marsland. And opening segment we had you not only starring as in the sex video for Craig McDermott, you also did the voiceover for it.
And then later on we're in the
installment of Sex Office as the maintenance guy.
There was a bit of below the desk work going on. But what about this week? What's anything in store this week, Richard?
I don't think I'm on board this week at all.
Well, so this is the joy of a Monday. You see, because this is where we kind of work out all the little more topical things that normally we just shoot the day before or day of, and that's when we go, who's available? Richard, you're our man.
Well, Richard, we've got an email here. Ryan's emailed in and said that he's been getting spam emails from one Almeric Cluck. Ring any bells, Rich?
No.
Oh, really?
Almeric Cluck, no.
Oh, really? Because he's wondering if Ricky M has evolved his Armitage pseudonym by creating a pseudonym who happens to have copious amounts of Viagra to sell.
What is this?
Definitely not.
Rich,
no.
Is this...
No, I was thinking about expanding it into some sort of company called Villeroy & Bock, the Armitage Shanks Empire, but no, definitely not that.
I hope somebody out there can follow some of this. Our show's out of control.
A pseudonym with a pseudonym.
A pseudonym on a nickname. That'll be doubtless in the new Wikipedia or Citizendium. I can't follow that!
I've been blocked from Wikipedia.
Have you been blocked?
My page has been shut down.
What was going on in your page? I was the dad on Alf for three episodes. So
I was David Hasselhoff's cousin.
Yeah.
And I bred kangaroos.
That's quite clean, though.
But I was the only person who had a very rare species of blue kangaroo in the country. At one point put out the call to people to make me part of some bizarre foreign film called Torre Molinos 73. Therefore I was added to that as the director or something, and that's when Wikipedia just went ba-bow, no more.
See, that's quite
get out.
He's found a blue kangaroo. I mean, that's quite harmless, really. If you went to my page, it would be he blew a kangaroo. That's what it would say. And then there'd be a padlock up and it'd all be over.
Your page has been unlocked, Rove.
Yes!
So, Wikipedia vandals, you know what
to do. Let them have it.
What else was going on over the weekend? Rove, you saw some sort of TV show.
There was a show that they've been teasing this for a while on your Fox 8, on your pay channel, and it's called Black White.
All right.
Black and White. And it's where they take an African-American family, black family, and they put them in the white makeup. Then they take the white family, the Caucasians, and they dress them in the black makeup.
Hijinks
in shoe. And so episode one was last night.
Do you have to swap lives completely? Like if I, do the kids have to go, like just swap, just go to the school that the other kids were
at? Well, not so much the school, but they certainly have to go live the lifestyle. The black father who's made to look white had to go play golf and buy some shoes.
Buy some shoes.
And he was excited because he got to use a shoehorn. It was the first time he went to a shoe store and they had him use a shoe.
It's a cultural eye opener.
And I thought, that's got nothing to do with the colour of his skin. I'm sure it's just where you go.
Yeah.
But there was, when they first put on their makeup and they're having to learn how to behave like a member of the opposite race. And first off was the black mother who's made to look white.
Yes.
And she got a little excited and kind of dropped character straight away.
I look up in the mirror and I'm like, damn, I'm
See, that would kind of be a giveaway for me.
Yeah, well spotted.
You're walking into a store, hi ma'am, can I help you? Damn, I'm white!
I seen a ghost!
Thomas! She jumps on a stool.
How convincing is the makeup?
It actually isn't too bad. The makeup was actually pretty good for some of them.
The makeup in white chicks with the Wayans brothers was...
That was really disturbing.
A bit freaky. It was a little bit freaky. And then, obviously, they all had to get together for a bit of a powwow session where the whites and the blacks would tell each other, here's what we do as a race that maybe you can take on board. And let's have an open forum, ask a few questions. And you're sitting there just looking at the white folk, just going, please don't say anything to make us look bad. Don't make us all seem like we're ignorant racists, please. Oh, dear.
What if all of us are having dinner together and there are pretty much equal blacks and whites and then the whites leave and y'all start jiving? Jiving?
See, that's white. That's very white.
Is it really?
Is it really? She says. So if the whites leave the room and the blacks all start jiving. Is that a bit of white? Is that a white thing to say?
Guys, let's start jiving.
Yes.
that white woman's still here. Yeah,
pass the grits, please.
And don't drink and jive. Be very careful.
But Ed, you were correct. The makeup is very good. Very good. And there's a mother and father and their daughter. So she's made up to look black and she has gone to a slam poetry session.
Oh, yes, please.
Which is where they get up and they
it's a poetry slam.
They vent their anger
about the man. About Whitey.
Keeping him down.
Dressed as a black man.
Yeah. Except they put it in rhyming couplets, which is really nice.
Yeah, good.
She looks the most convincing of all of them.
Good.
But then I think she kind of slipped up when they were giving away some of their influences.
I want everybody to introduce themselves and tell me your favorite entertainer.
My name is LaToya Hicks. My favorite artist is Mary J. Blige. My name is Shalee Busby, and my favorite entertainer is Prince.
Blessed. I'm an avid Michael Jackson fan.
My name is Jonathan. My favorite performer is Dave Chappelle.
Here she goes.
My name is Rose, and my favorite entertainer, I kind of love the Cranberries.
Whoa.
So,
the Cranberries.
Love the Cranberries.
Diverse.
Diverse. Now, when there's someone in the group who says my favorite black performer is Michael Jackson, you're not going to struggle there.
How can
you
do much?
But then when you trump them with the Cranberries.
Which side of the fence does Michael Jackson fall on that show?
What have the Cranberries even been up to be an influence to any young person?
My favorite is Kajagoogoo.
Do they meet? That's the thing. Do they turn them loose on each other? That would be the ending.
That's what I'd like to see. Well, it's only episode one. Who knows what they've got down the track?
Let's see a scene where a whole lot of black policemen in whiteface are beating up Rodney King dressed as a white man.
But with a shoehorn to give him a thrill.
That's some sizzle right there. Rose brought clips along.
Black and white.
Have any of our people ever brought clips along?
No, sir.
So you add it to the pile with your Dickinsons and your...
Dickinsons? Are you talking about Dickinson?
Because I love him. I love him as much as you guys.
And because, like Dickinson, on today's show...
We're going to have an eye-popping, cracking lot of kit on that stand.
That's him! That's him, in case you don't know who we're talking about.
I'm going to say to you, this is sheer heaven for me. and I'm drooling already with this pair, this huge pair of globes.
He loves globes.
They're 25-inch globes. We're looking at over £200,000 for this magnificent pair of globes. I'm going to say these are probably the finest pair of globes, that are on sale in the country today.
Globes! That's constantly happening. Are we running a bit late? I think we are. Are we running late?
They need to get a move on because I can feel the pressure rising in my head. It's saying to me, something has got to be done.
It is. Do you want to stick around,
that
Rose?
Like, you know I do.
That sounds like he's going to break out into song.
And if a cracking piece. And a load of kits, and that's coming up next. Globes!
That'd be jet. Put your money where your mouth is. Rove McManus is with us this morning. What does that mean? That means Rove must be on tomorrow night and those ARIA Awards. Don't you make them?
Yes. The ARIAs are on Sunday, which will be very exciting.
Looking forward to a bit of swearing. Gratuitous swearing. That's
gratuitous swearing. There's always alcohol. There's always alcohol. And when you get your musos in your alcohol. I mean, year before, John Butler... kissed me on the human lips.
Oh, that'd be right.
And you know, he's a fairly placid guy, but when John Butler's getting on the turbs and getting a bit rock and roll,
doesn't matter.
For a folky guy.
When that happened, did Michael Gudinski leap from his chair and just punch the air for no reason?
He loved it. He just loved it.
He's constantly doing that. I mentioned gratuitous swearing. We were going to have some gratuitous swearing in this spot. Mm-hmm. I was up all last night recording Tony Soprano calling Channel 9 to complain about them moving his show around. Because I don't know if they do this on Channel 10, but Channel 9, they just move shows around, if you noticed, Ed.
They whacked it.
It's supposed
midnight.
It was taken to the tar pits.
It was supposed to be on at midnight, but now I understand it's being moved back again. 10:30 again. So it's had 3 time slots in 5 episodes.
Sexy new time.
Keeping it a moving target. It's like, you know, in The Godfather where they have to hit the mattresses. That's what that show has done.
It's like a 3-card Monty game with the Sopranos. The only way you can get it is to get it out the boot of a car of one of the Sopranos.
is there much of a difference? They sort of put it on at midnight. Then they go, no, we've moved it to 10:30. So that'll keep them happy.
But how does it work for language? Because there was fairly fruity language on the Sex and the City and that went out at 9:30.
It did.
So how does that work?
I don't know.
When does it start being no holds barred? Like at what point, what time of night?
Well, we're allowed to swear at 9:30. We're allowed to swear. Right. But also I think because we're live, they give us leniency. So I think we're allowed 2 F-bombs.
Are you 2?
A 2. So I would kind of think, so if we haven't, surely my logic would think, if therefore we don't use 2 in one episode, does that give us 4 for the next?
Do they accrue?
I would hope so. By the end of the year, that's our final episode. That's all we'll say.
You can spend a couple of those, Basil.
I'd love to.
Yeah, well, take them out. Use them. They're yours.
I don't know
Divvy them up.
Do you remember a few years ago, Rob Sitch got into a lot of trouble for swearing on the panel, for dropping the F word at 4 minutes past 11.
When the kids are awake.
And also, it was in reference to Donna Gabay.
Well.
Wasn't it?
Who was that?
Exactly.
I'm not sure that was his line. Donna Gabay was. But like only a week earlier, the Prime Minister, John Howard's favourite movie, do you know what it is? He always says in interviews, 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, yes.
That's his favourite. That had gone out at 8:30 at night, and that opens with the F word about 100 times.
Yes, it does.
If you ever see the script of that movie, it's just Hugh Grant saying it over and over again, but saying it in a posh, nice voice.
So it's all right, you see.
I think that's okay. If it's a lovely F-bomb, it's a delightful F-bomb, it's acceptable.
Weddings. 4 weddings and a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Howard's favourite film.
I reckon, do you reckon he'd tear up during the funeral part of it? Or is it too much for him? He'll just fast forward that scene.
He just likes playing that bit about the Partridge Family over and over again. I reckon he'd be doing that dialogue to the missus. Oh, I think I love you. How do we get here? Soprano sketch.
Soprano sketch. Couldn't do it.
Got it in this morning, put it in the machine. Machine chewed it up here. 5 hours work. And then Matt retrieves it.
Good work, Matty.
And we go, we can put it to air.
Sweet.
And then he goes, I'm not going to have time to beep all these F words. He's going, I reckon I could do about 50 of them.
But there's 100.
It's about 100.
Let's beep them live.
So in that play the game. You could do it, Richard. You could do it. If anybody could.
I know, but this panel's going to fall apart as soon as I hit it. 3 buttons fall off.
So. But as long as one of them isn't the beep button, you'll be fine. Okay.
Come on,
come
Rich.
Come on.
I'm hoping we will have that bit tomorrow when it's no longer topical.
Well, can you just at least tease and let everybody know, what was their reaction? What did Nine deal with it very well?
Oh, you'll hear it all tomorrow. It's fruity, yes.
I feel like a donkey with a carrot in front of me.
Yeah, I'll beep it, Tone. I know when I can tell.
Yeah, you'll beep it.
Yeah.
You'll beep it live.
Yeah. Why don't you just do a verbal beep?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm just going to speak out the beeps. Come on, Tone.
We had Bob Franklin drop the magic last week.
Yeah, he did.
And Rove claims he did it on his show.
Yeah.
Yes, muttered it. I muttered it to myself. Once on air, that was way back when we started on Channel 9.
Yes.
And I just, by accident, because something was falling to pieces, some segment had been changed. And on my piece of paper, I just kept going, where's this? And the pictures that kept coming up weren't matching what I had in front of me.
So you went off.
I just went, oh, effort then.
All right. And has there ever been any big controversies? Rove been on, 6 or 7 years now?
We had American comedian Scott Capurro on.
Oh, yeah.
Who in the days when we used to, because as comedians, you know what it's like when people go, what are you going to do? And you write out the material and on paper you feel like having to say when you hand it in for them to check, trust me, I deliver it a lot better than it reads.
Yeah.
It's the way I say it. So we used to think, I know what that's like. So as long as we have rough topics so we're not doubling up on gags, that's fine. So here's what something like, I'm going to talk a little bit about religion, a little bit about something, a little bit about something. Go, fine, no problem. Not realising that it would mean he was his religion material is about fornicating with major icons. And you go, yeah, okay, good, excellent. Clean, like the language was fine. It was just the context.
No, it's just that it clashed with all of your fornicating with major icons.
That week, and unfortunately, because it's not an interview, so he's just there by himself. And for the first time, it's strange how your body actually sort of seems to leave your mind behind. And I was just sitting there going, maybe, just maybe, this isn't being broadcast live to a nation of people. Maybe somewhere like a crow has landed on our antenna and pecked the heart of it out and this isn't being broadcast.
Hey, Rove, at what point is there anything that could go on that where you'd go, all right, that's it, and you'd cut away, go to something else? At what point would you go, okay,
because for that's enough, Marsland. The naughtiest home video show, it was
best show ever.
Child touching a kangaroo's genitals was where Kerry Packer drew the line.
It wasn't at the conga line with the big sort of Afghan dog at the back of it.
Yeah.
That sounds great. No.
They show that one now, pixelated. They show it blurred out.
Yeah, really?
It's a Minty's commercial now. But what? Okay, so, because I'm trying to think a few years ago. I reckon my favourite thing I have ever seen on Australian TV.
It's a knockout.
No.
Oh.
Ooh, be cool.
Alan Jones on the Kerri-Anne Midday Show the day after Chopper Reid had been on El McFeast. Did you ever see that?
Oh, no.
It was gold. I mean, it was already gold before it happened because El McFeast had been Chopper Reid on drunk.
That's right.
And he'd said all this stuff. And the next
having
day...
Having a giggle. He's having a giggle.
And Kerri-Anne got the crampons on and fought her way to the top of the moral high ground to look down upon everyone else. And she's gone. And you couldn't write a funnier joke than this, could you? I think it's a disgrace that they even give a man like that a platform for his views. We've got him on the line now.
You're joking.
And she had Chopper Reid on the phone. Alan Jones was sitting there. and Ellen wearing a pair of pea green slacks. And Jonesy's decided to look like a big man, take on Chopper. And such a bad move on live TV.
Why would Chopper have
Alan Jones has gone, oh, look, you're a disgusting man. And they shouldn't be giving. It is a fine line between Alan Jones and John Michael Howe's
You know it.
It's that 1% gene difference, mouses, humans. It's that same thing.
Alan Jones.
And Chopper's just bided his time. Mm. And then, I won't say what he said, but it was a reference to a certain incident in a certain toilet block.
And how did Jonesy take that?
And it was just like, bang, one punch, Jonesy on the ground. And Kerry Ann, because the voice was coming from the ceiling because he was on the phone.
Like so, John Blackman in Hey Hey.
Yeah, like that. But Kerry Ann actually stood up and started waving at the ceiling. She got out of her chair and started going, no, lose that. Get rid of him. Like waving at the sky.
Wait a second, but Rose. Onto something.
Yeah.
If they need to spice up the Kerry Ann show, why not have Chopper on the line? Then John Blackman
style. John Blackman.
That'd be great. Or he could come up like the little, like Dickie Need, head on a stick.
Mrs. K.
What is it, Chopper?
Hear about that incident there, talk. No, Chopper. See, that's good.
That's a good idea.
They could use. They could really use that. The booth would be there.
A little Chopper Dickie Knee puppet actually voiced by Chopper Reed on the Kerry Ann show. That's almost as good as our idea of getting Nick Kershaw onto the back of a flatbed truck with three synthesizers.
A drought.
Touring around drought
solving
areas.
Solving the drought. The only
nearly
way
as good. Nearly as good.
Have you got anything that good on your show, Rove?
No.
Kershaw on the back of a truck.
That's the problem. We need flatbed. Ideas like that. We need that kind of creativity that you guys come up with.
But a lot of it comes from our listeners.
Well, look, if they can do it. If they could have anything even remotely as good as Chopper Reed voicing a small puppet head version of himself. On Kerry Ann's 9 a.m.
Let's throw it out to the listeners. New segments for Rove Life. That's going to be next. I'll get this. Get
this. Let's hope those boys can get their lives back on track and make up for the damage they've done.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz, the all-new Sprinter.
It's Get This around the nation on Triple M or on KOFM in Newcastle. Rove is with us this morning. You know, I can't find any dirt. You need one of these Alan Jones books on you, Dan, I reckon, Rove.
Oh, you read that yet, Tone?
I was looking for it on the weekend. It's not out yet. The bits of the paper are so good.
That's the rest of our.
Do you reckon the Chopper Reed bit would be in there? The Chopper Reed Kerry Ann incident would be in there.
I'd like to think it's in there. There's so much gold.
Now, do you find a book like this comes out and everybody's got excerpts that they print?
That's right.
To the point where you sit there going, oh, well, that's obviously all the best bits. Why would you otherwise need to go buy the book?
It's
the Shane Warne book was the same.
Yeah.
But everyone has their own idea of what the best bits are.
That's true.
And with Alan Jones, it's all the gay gear. It's all the, you know, calling people up and bossing them around and telling them to deport this person, deport that person, you know, that kind of stuff. But
can
can
he have people deported?
Right.
Yes, apparently. He can. Yes, definitely can.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I'm Alan Jones.
Wow.
But to me, this...
or John Michael.
It's a fine line, I'm telling you.
Could he just work the Hollywood in there, though?
But have they ever been seen in the
Alan
same room
Hollywood
together?
Jones? I'd like to hear Alan Jones do the... John Michael Hollywood House, when he used to do GMA with Burton, they'd cross to him in LA. He used to do this camera, old cinema kind of cranking camera thing action.
Alan Jones does have his own cranking action.
This movie tape.
It's a fine line. John Michael House and Alan Jones, it's like the formula I worked out. Jack Nicholson plus Liberace equals Willem Dafoe.
Not
Think
bad.
About it.
Whoa.
I'd love to demonstrate, but it takes a long time to crank it up.
And he hasn't stretched.
Here's the line that caught my attention about Alan Jones, excerpt from Chris Masters' book, Jonestown, available this week. This is talking about when Alan was a school teacher at the age of 29 at King's School at Parramatta. On the first Saturday of the school year, King's held its commemoration day. Parents were invited along to inspect the school, meet the teachers, and observe emerging talent. Everyone remembers commemoration day 1970.
Of course they do.
According to one of the observers, the whole school was flabbergasted. Resplendent in flared trousers and an orange cravat. Alan Jones.
Is that all he was wearing?
Probably.
Was he twirling his moustache?
Alan Jones, unannounced, got to his feet and belted out a number from the West End musical Pickwick, If I Ruled the World. How's
and
that?
And then took off in a hot air balloon. By the sounds of things, and then, with that outfit.
In, I think, to one of the Sydney papers today, you've got someone from 2GB calling in defending Alan Jones and comparing him to Jesus Christ.
Well, have they ever been seen in the same room together?
Saying, there was another bloke a few years ago who this happened to. It's one of those letters.
Yeah.
I never saw Jesus Christ getting around in the pea green slacks,
no,
though.
No, neither do I.
Yeah, because you always hear the, you know, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. He had some crazy ideas.
Yeah,
I used to wear sandals. Everyone thought he was a bit out there. Yeah. You don't hear that. Yeah, I want to tell you about a little friend of mine. He had some crazy ideas. He used to wear this orange cravat and pea green trousers.
So if you've got your boss comparing yourself to Jesus Christ while you're standing up in the slacks singing If I Ruled the World. Have you got a few maybe issues, do you think?
Nah.
No, perfectly fine. Yep.
How near have you got to that rope? Like, how's the most out of control you've got?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you made any demands? Surely you made a few demands.
The most out of control I got, let me think. There must be a time where I've tried to throw my weight around a little bit.
Yeah.
No, look, not to that extent that I can think of. Where I've never jumped in anywhere unannounced, I would like to think, anyway, in that regard. Although I'm hoping there can be an observer like that. That's like having an industry insider or a source close to the couple.
A fellow diner.
Have you ever been bagged out by the industry sources? Has there ever been anything written about you and it's just been attributed to sources insiders?
You know, mine is he's nice, so he can't be that nice, so therefore there must be something.
Right.
We don't have anything, but there must be something.
Yeah.
He must, you know, pull the wings off butterflies or just, you know...
That's a segment.
Taunt kittens with a little bowl of yarn, that they aren't allowed to play with. He just stands at the other side of the room just going, ooh.
This is all good stuff, Rose.
Yeah.
Maybe that's our
dovetail. It's got to be something.
Hey, what about that new segment we're working on?
Well,
it's called Wenda.
Wenda.
It's called Wenda. And it's just, when is Ed Cavalli going to do all the hundreds of segments he's been sizzling up all year?
Come on.
Listen, Martin, I've got music to play.
When are you doing this show from a canvas sack?
I need a sack. I keep telling you. I'm ready. I'm sack ready. But I can't, unless I've got the sack, I got nothing to do with it.
You may well get the sack. What about your song? What have you prepared?
Rich, I've got some
lovely singing
voice. I've got some lovely.
You're looking at me so vacantly right
shush,
now.
Shush you.
Are we on the preparation city limits
it's
again?
Just that my mind's a blank canvas, and
this will be done sans sack.
Sackless. Sackless at the moment. Listen, Rich, I think I'm going to play some big strumming guitar, and
definitely,
then crack straight in with the vocals.
Nice, yes.
Absolutely. A big breath at the start.
All right. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, great. Thanks. Thank you.
You've done this one before.
How dare you?
What is it?
What if I ruled the world too good for you?
Cheap Trick. See you on the other side. It's not Nickelback. That'd be Cheap Trick at Get This around the nation in Melbourne last night. There was an earthquake. Rove McManus, you're based in...
I got
in
a bit of quake. Mm.
Did you cop the quake action?
Copped a bit of quake.
4 seconds of shuddering.
Mm.
Now, people have sex, every 10.10 of a second, somebody's having sex. That means somebody would have, without realising it, have timed their sex to end during that 4 seconds.
Yeah.
How happy with themselves would they have been?
And it's not every day... where you can actually ask, did the earth move for you? And it could be a legitimate question.
That's fantastic. If you could time it for those 4 seconds.
Every point ten.
Do you think people do? They sit there just going, do I think an earthquake is going to happen sometime in the next 30 seconds? Because I could probably make it that long. Otherwise, I'll have to wait for... If I could just call someone.
What are you doing?
A warning.
On the computer there, Ed Cavalier.
Just looking up the Passiona High section of our website.
Oh, how's that going? Passiona High...
Good. It's going really well, actually.
...is a cereal that Greg... Greg Fleet came up with it accidentally on air, and somehow it's ended up being a segment on the show.
Not sure
how.
And we've got some very good...
casting suggestions.
Yeah, you know it. The cruel mathematics teacher. Mm. You are dealing with fractions. David the Duke Dickinson. Very
fantastic.
Good.
So it has to be cast from people who have been on or mentioned on
Absolutely
the show.
Absolutely right. So Rove's looking for a part. Right.
Yep, sure.
Looking for a part.
Absolutely.
Who could Rove be?
Like
at school. You know, what sort of person were you at school?
I was the... I was kind of in the middle ground. I was lucky because I was kind of above, like, the really nerdy kids below all the really sporty guys. But I knew a lot of the sporty guys because I went to primary school with them, and one of them was my cousin, so I was kind of allowed into that circle.
Wow, yeah. No man's land.
No man's land.
Have we got someone on the line?
Yeah, I think we do.
And I was the guy who could get away with stuff because I was kind of the silly, jokey one. So you could kind of get away with stuff with teachers. They liked that.
Yeah, class wag, like Richard Marsden was.
Class wag.
In that film all those years ago. I think we've got Greg Fleet on the line. Are you there, Greg?
I am indeed, and I think Rose McManus has to be the handsome drama teacher that the girls have got the crush on.
Oh, yeah. Would I have patches on my sleeves?
Oh, no, that's...
On my elbows?
That's only when it moves up to Passione University.
Hey, so what would that character be called, Greg?
I think he'd be called... he has one of those, you know, really interesting names like... Yeah, or like, you know, Container Harrison, or, you know, like...
Container Harrison! Sol, that's on there! Why are you calling us, Greg? Where are you?
I'm in beautiful Brisbane, and you'll be very pleased to know this is absolutely true. I ran into some young people yesterday. The show's a big hit in Brisbane. Everywhere I've gone, I went into a newsagent this morning, and I went, Pete Fleet! So it's working for me.
Was that just someone who you owed money to?
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. The government have worked that into the tax scheme.
The Fleet provisions.
Yeah. But I met these kids, and they're at school, and they actually went to a school sports day and crossed out on their T-shirts or whatever with the name of their school, crossed it out and put Passione High
is that
on the
right?
things. And competed primarily so that it would be announced over the PA system.
Fantastic.
And finally, someone came third in the long jump.
Yes.
And the person actually announced it. And, you know, third place in the long jump, Catherine Harrison, Persona High. Didn't get it right. But,
Persona High. Yeah, it's their school's based on an Ingmar Bergman film. It's not as popular as Passione High. Hey, Greg, thanks for that. Have you got anything you'd like to plug while you're on the line?
Not really. Just me in general. Just the Greg Fleet Enterprises. But
what are you doing in Brisbane?
I've been doing some comedy gigs. I've finished those. I'm actually going to Byron Bay tonight to do a gig there and just kind of, you know, be a hippie.
Yeah. Rove, we'd just like to point out Greg is now self-managed. How's that going for you, Greg?
It's going okay. The self-management bit wasn't working out that well. I had a guy ring me today for a gig in Tasmania, and I booked that in. I'm doing the gig for free, and I'm staying at his place.
And I got your invoice last week. I'm not sure if the tax department will accept a serviette with my ABN number on it.
Oh, I thought that's what you wanted.
Isn't that how it works?
I think I'm going to have to get a real manager because I've got to get this whole getting paid and being put in hotel thing worked out.
Well, good luck with that. Maybe that'll be tomorrow's phone in. Thanks for talking to us. And, Greg, we'll just go out with your improvised theme to Passione High.
School of the air leaves you a loner. Come to the school that they call Passione. Passione High.
20 cents in royalty money coming your way. Thanks, Greg. Rove, this show of yours, how long has it been on?
This is year six.
Man, you must be looking for a new segment.
The well is dry.
What's the least successful segment you've run?
Oh, This Week in History.
What was that?
It lasted two segments. We did the first time we just kind of went, maybe it didn't quite work. And the second time we went, no, it's just the segment. It was the idea of taking a legitimate event from This Week in History. first one was the invention of champagne. Then it was the first mobile phone being used in America. Right. And then we would write a sketch based on those which we performed live in the studio, and it just didn't take off. I blame Ben Lee and his terrible 80s outfit.
He
was him and Peter Hellier together.
Maybe it just needed more Marsland.
I think that was the problem at the time, a severe lack of.
Yeah. Okay, we need new segments. Hey, what about you, Richard? Have you floated any segments to Rove that have been knocked back?
No, I had one going at the start of the year, which was the Harrison Ford swear jar.
Yes.
Which has kind of been on the back burner.
But got stolen.
Oh.
The swear jar got stolen. We actually did have a Harrison Ford swear jar for guests who they would, if they would wanted to swear on the show, they could put money in the jar.
And someone was Greg Fleet on the show that week?
No, it had been going so well, and it was one of those things. The week before, I thought we just kind of leave it here, and there is money, you know, accumulating in it, and someone, you know, probably Stingray from Neighbours.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We go.
And sure enough. The very following week, it's gone.
Well,
yeah.
Could have been me.
We need an ideas shower in here.
We need a
concept furnace. That's what we need. What have you got segment-wise, Ed? Anything that you can slip to row?
I reckon. It might take a while. It'll have to be like over a course of a season.
Sure,
right?
We can build. Yeah.
You get Shanksy, right? Now, Shanksy, how's your... Like, let's say you get Shanksy at the start of the season. It's something he can't do.
Yeah.
Breakdance, Spanish, you know, pick up ladies. And throughout the... He has lessons throughout the season, right. And he just gets better and better and better. And by the end of it, he's a Spanish speaking breakdance and lady killer.
I like it. It's an arc.
It's positive.
Listen to this. You just want it on the business card. That's what you want.
It's got arc. Yeah. It's got Marsland.
Mm-hmm.
It's got breakdancing.
I love it.
I can hear
tumbleweeds in the studio.
I just love the dramatic pause. It's got breakdancing.
I can actually...
Just soak that up. Yeah. Just soak that up.
I could hear the air conditioning in my headphones.
See?
That's how well that one went down.
It's got an arc. It's got an arc. It starts slow and it builds on you.
They love an arc.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't accept arc. He added arc.
Yeah. Well, look, once it's in this room... Yeah, everyone.
It's one of those words because we're picking up new phrases all the time. Razzle dazzle filter. That's one that you hear a lot around here.
Razzle filter.
Make sure everything's got to go through the razzle.
Put it through the razzle dazzle filter
before it goes to air. Content boost. That's
the
a phrase.
Content boost is my new favorite.
Were we being told we need a content boost?
Yes, we need a content boost. Tone.
Oh. Okay, new segments. There was one on Martin Malloy a few years ago. Shoot the celebrity in the ass.
Yeah. Didn't you win a prize for that?
I think we did.
You won a RAR award for that.
Some kind of radio industry award for, you know, combining crossbow bolts with celebrity clacker. That went down really well.
Not bad.
I've got an idea for a segment which really is a visual one. You can't do it on the radio. It's, you know, celebrity lookalikes.
Yes.
That's too easy. The thing of combining two celebrities, like I was saying earlier, voice-wise, Jack Nicholson plus Liberace equals Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, not bad.
So,
nice.
So what about with faces? Like, can you do that? If you take this celebrity, that celebrity, they equal that celebrity.
Okay. Now, that's an idea.
Yeah.
Well, actually, here's another short-lived segment we had, unlookalikes.
Unlookalikes?
People who don't look like famous people. We tried it once.
What was an example?
We had someone in the audience who didn't look like Oprah Winfrey. Some white man who didn't look like Oprah Winfrey. Actually, here we go. From episode 1 of this year, Richard Marsland played the unlucky audience member.
That's true, yes.
And that tanked. Mm. It was, congratulations, you're tonight's unlucky audience member.
Exploded.
And then he blew up.
Aaron Burkett.
And the idea was we would have... Richard would play the unlucky audience member every other week. We'd say, now it's time for tonight's unlucky audience member, and he would be mauled by a Bengal tiger or something.
That's funny.
And we did the first one. He blew up, and it just didn't work.
The amount of text messages I got after that. My inbox was full.
And Richard Marsland doesn't bear a startling resemblance to...
Jackie Chan.
See, you have to think. That's the key to it. You have to think.
Who do they look like?
You instinctively would just go and blurt a name out, but you'd be worried, well, what if I do happen to say Willem Dafoe and he has a touch of Willem Dafoe?
I'm trying to think of an example of the A plus B equals C, and people wouldn't remember the last series of 24, the new female boss.
Yep.
Angelica Houston and Helen Mirren in one. I know it's, you have to think back.
Tough one.
But the repeats will come on one night, you'll see it, and you'll go, Tony Martin was right for one.
Do you know what I found? When you're comparing one person to a celebrity, they would have to look exactly like them for people to go, yes. Otherwise, people would go, no, they don't. The key is that one kind of degree of separation where you say they look like they could be Gina Davis's sister.
Sister, mother, or brother, or female. Female version of.
Yes.
Oh, that's my favourite. We had a friend at university.
Yes.
And he was there, and then his sister started at the university a couple of years later, and it just looked like he'd showed up with a wig.
Maybe he did.
It was terrible.
That's his sister.
Did you ask?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it was quite alarming. Hey. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That could be a segment. What else have we got? Is it a tank dry?
Yeah, a few... Quizmania style
word
play. Yeah. Just there's not enough of those on TV at the moment.
I think we've got to throw it out to the listeners. Come to the rescue, everybody. Give us a call. New segments for Rove Life to boot it into its seventh year.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do. 1-333-53 anywhere in the country. Give us a call. We'll be waiting.
If I had my time ago.
That's Big Audio Dynamite with a bit of Peter Sellers in the middle there with Rush. We're up a certain mountain. Rove McManus, as we attempt to find new segments for his program, goes out on Channel 10, I think you'll find, on Tuesday nights. Who have we got on the line?
Hello, Brad. How are you?
G'day, boys. I'm good. Yourself?
Excellent, sir. Your idea for a new segment?
Look, I just think with Rove Show being on Tuesday night, it's perfect timing to do a show that takes the piss out of the reality shows that have been on the previous night, like Idol and Dancing with the Stars, and you call the show Care Factor. And you actually have comedians that are taking piss and doing impersonations of the performance from the night before.
Yeah, so that's not Care Factor. I like that.
Well, hear it out. And the whole show is based on what a couple sitting on their couch are actually saying. Like, that really was crap, that performance by the chick that sang, I don't know, Heart of Gold or Heart of Glass.
And would this segment basically be what goes on at your house of an evening?
Yeah, well, it's not just my house. It's at everyone's house,
that's
isn't
true,
it?
Yeah, that's true, yeah, I think it is.
It's the words that we were actually saying and thinking of at the time. And, you know, I just think it'd be great if someone did break their leg on Dancing with the Stars.
Hey.
You know, they show that when the guy comes in with a parachute on the grand final, but, you know, they don't show it on Dancing with the Stars.
So that's the thing. They had the skating one, and everybody, like, no one was getting voted out. They were all just getting cut and sent to hospital.
Right.
Sliced up, and that's how they were getting eliminated. So if you can add that.
We need the Tonya Harding factor. We need, you know, Carl Stefanovic to just go someone with a lid pipe.
Oh, that'd be good.
It's not too much to ask, surely.
Care factor
could work.
Hello, Hayley.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good. Your idea for Rove?
My idea for Rove is My Gross Kids.
And what happens?
Right, pretty much it would just be me following my kids around with a video camera.
Yep.
To see the kind of things they put in their mouth.
Are your kids are like worm-eating kids, that kind of deal?
Yeah. They're 1 and 2.
Yep.
And the amount of snot they can produce in a 24-hour period.
See, I wouldn't just restrict it to the mouth. My sister, when she was younger, was walking around the house making this very strange kind of snorting noise, and my parents found that she had shoved orange peel up her nose.
Oh, right.
Ooh, nice.
To the point where she was getting a nice citrusy sensation around her brain. So well, I think if we open it up a bit more like that.
Yeah.
Because then you keep it, then you've got that up your sleeve, so it doesn't just week after week, people just go, oh, it's another mouth thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just go, whoa. Turn it on its head. Or what about the nose?
Or you have a person who's just standing there and the segment's called Where Have They Put Orange Peel? And you've got to guess. Where the orange peel's
Where's gone. The peel? Pick the peel.
Care factor, what's up my kid's nose? Can we top these ideas?
Hello, Grant, how are you?
G'day, how you going?
Excellent, sir. Your idea for Rove?
Just a person in a gimp suit doing everyday things.
Yes. Wait a second. I think I've got the perfect casting. Richard Marsland.
He would too. He's got no choice.
I'd do it even if there were no cameras.
So at the beginning of the show, the gimp is released from his trunk.
Yep.
And then we just see him over the course of the show doing what sort of stuff?
Buying McDonald's.
Yes. Great. You may be hosting a charity evening.
Yes.
receiving a giant novelty check.
That'd be nice.
Making an omelette.
Sportsman's night.
A sportsman's night. Fantastic. Doing his tax.
Best and fairest.
Just anything.
Thank you, Grant. Finally,
because it's hard out there for a gimp.
Sorry. Hello, John. How are you?
G'day, Ed. How you going?
Excellent, sir. What's your idea?
My idea was people who look like cartoon characters.
Oh, yes.
Now, we've tried that before.
Yes.
Doesn't really fire.
Yeah, I usually get a run when anyone does that.
Who do you get?
Computers for Dummies, Where's Wally, Harry Potter, any cartoon character with glasses.
Yeah.
Ed looks like, who did we work out?
Just a cartoon character.
A generic cartoon
character. Yeah, just a generic cartoon character.
Rove, who did you get?
Did you get anyone, Rove?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't mind having a, you know, if you could look like, so you could do a touch of the Jimmy Neutron. There's a character on Jimmy Neutron, the one who puts on the superhero outfit and runs around. You could do a bit of that.
Shanksy's got a touch of the, you know those two characters in Sesame Street that are always working out words? by seeing the sounds. Two sort of purple monsters.
Cheers.
Yep.
Yeah. You got a touch of that.
Not
about
a cartoon
you.
Character, though.
And Shanksy's got a touch of the clumsy chef falls down the stairs to illustrate different numbers. With varying numbers of flans.
Remember
that guy?
Yes.
He does. That's what we got time for.
Although he had a stunt double for 7 and 9. That's what I was told.
You're kidding.
He couldn't do 9 strawberry flans himself.
Trouble with the...
Thank you, everybody.
And that's it.
That's all we got time for.
That is spun bloody gold right there.
Sorry to the guys we didn't get to.
Care Factor, what's up your kid's nose?
My kid's nose. It had to be her kid's.
My kid's nose.
Only her kid's.
We go to her house every week.
Everyday gimp.
And then you added in, where's the peel?
Wow.
And Marslin falling down the stairs with plans.
Rove, thank Brilliant. You for coming in.
A pleasure.
Your show goes out 9:30, does it not, on Tuesdays?
It does.
And these ARIA Awards
are on Sunday.
On Sunday night.
Yeah.
And what can you sizzle something for that? Any surprises?
Only that Keith Urban won't be there.
Ah, yes. And I see in the press release, Keith Urban's on your show tomorrow night.
Where he was meant to be, indeed. So
have
that
I got
would
an
be
old draft?
Yeah, I think so.
Instead,
it's been an interesting weekend.
Instead, just Richard Marsland slurring and swinging
and
from
Johnny
a bottle.
Knoxville, speaking of people slurring, Johnny Knoxville will be here.
Okay.
Go on.
All right, that's all happening on Rove. Thanks for coming in. And our key phrase today, I think it was,
we're gonna have an eye-popping, cracking lot of kit on that stand.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Ryan Shelton.
Yeah.
Woo. And it's all thanks to the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz. That'll be the Sprinter.